From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. In a televised address today, Cuban President Raul Castro said the Cuban people recognize and respect the actions of President Obama to reestablish diplomatic relations between the two countries. But as NPR's Carrie Kahn tells us, Castro also said there is more that needs to be done.
Dressed in a green army uniform and sitting behind a desk, Raul Castro read from a prepared speech. He praised Obama, the Pope, and the government of Canada for all working to reestablish relations, which he said the Cuban people welcome.
Esto no quiere decir que lo principal se haya resuelto.
But he added, this does not mean that the major issue has been resolved. The economic embargo must be lifted, he said. Castro said the two countries must, quote, learn the art of civilized coexistence with differences. Secret talks for more than a year led to Wednesday's announcement and a prisoner exchange. U.S. contractor Alan Gross and a U.S. spy were released from Cuba. Three Cubans imprisoned in Florida were also freed. Carrie Kahn, NPR News.
As Carrie just noted, Cuba released American subcontractor Alan Gross, who was convicted 5 years ago of espionage in Cuba. This afternoon, he addressed the public for the first time since he returned to the U.S.
What a blessing it is to be a citizen of this country. And thank you, President Obama, for everything that you have done today and leading up to today.
Gross was released for humanitarian reasons. Again, his release reportedly was not part of the prisoner exchange between the U.S. and Cuba, in which a CIA officer was released by Cuba in exchange for the freedom of three Cuban intelligence officers. In other news, the Federal Reserve's policymaking Federal Open Market Committee has again decided to leave short-term interest rates at rock bottom. And Steve Beckner of Market News International says the FOMC is giving no hint of when it will start raising them.
Are higher interest rates coming? Undoubtedly, but just when remains unclear. The FOMC, in its final meeting of the year, said it can be patient about raising the key federal funds rate, but said that is consistent with its previous pledge to leave the overnight money market rate near zero for a considerable time. The new language still implies the rate will stay near zero, where it's been for 6 years, for a good while. Fed Chair Janet Yellen and her fellow policymakers said the first rate hike could come sooner or later, depending on how the economy performs. Whenever it comes, they signaled the pace of rate hikes will be gradual. For NPR News, I'm Steve Beckner in Washington.
U.S. markets reacting. Dow is up 160 points, nearly 1% at 17,245. NASDAQ is up more than 1% at 4607. S&P 500 also up more than 1% at 1996. This is NPR. 14 people have been charged in the case of a Massachusetts pharmacy blamed for a meningitis outbreak in 2012 that killed at least 64 people and hurt hundreds more. NPR's Tovia Smith reports the outbreak was traced to tainted drugs made by the New England Compounding Center.
Prosecutors say the New England Compounding Company put profits ahead of safety, causing what they called an unprecedented national tragedy. The company allegedly sold tainted drugs despite, quote, filthy lab conditions and knowledge of problems, the work of depraved minds, according to Associate U.S. Attorney General Stuart Delery.
Actions like the ones alleged in this case display not only a reckless disregard for the federal health and safety laws and regulations, but also an extreme and appalling indifference to human life.
An attorney for one of the defendants called the charges an overreach, telling the AP his client felt hugely remorseful and never intended to cause anyone harm. Tovia Smith, NPR News, Boston.
Richard C. Hodlett, the last of the pioneering group of wartime journalists recruited by legendary newsman Edward R. Murrow, has died. Hodlett served as a foreign correspondent for the United Press in Berlin at the start of World War II and spent a few months in solitary confinement by the Nazis. He was released, then joined CBS. As one of the so-called Murrow boys, Hodlett was credited with helping to shape the impact of broadcast journalism during wartime with detail-driven accounts of the front lines, including the Normandy invasion in June 1944. He was 97 years old. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News.